scripture text for meditation this morning is taken from Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 to 24. Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 to 24, and I shall read. Genesis 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. All the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Cainan. And Enos lived after he begat Cainan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. And Cainan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Cainan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Cainan were 910 years and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The Lord bless the reading of his inerrant word.
I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Yes, we all wait earnestly, joyfully, for the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Several years ago, there was a research project which began in Chicago, in one of Chicago's hospitals. It was on a seminar on death, in which psychiatrists, chaplains, nurses, and medical doctors studied the ultimate human crisis of facing death. Basic finding is that they very ill proceed through 5 emotional stages on their way to death. The first stage is denial. Here the patient is unwilling to accept his fate and the nature of his predicament. When physical indication makes denial so no longer possible, the patient moves into the second stage, that of anger. He becomes angry for no apparent reason with his doctor, with his friends, with his family, and the nurses. Following this comes the stage of bargaining. Dr. Ross, who led this team, explained here the patient bargains to stave off the inevitable by promising to live for God, go to church, give his body to medical science or some other futile means. Yet the bargaining is little more than a temporary respite in the progress toward dying. The fourth and most difficult stage is that of increasing depression. The patient finally realizes what is happening to him and enters a time when he is actually grieving for his own demise. It is a trying time for both patient and loved ones. However, Dr. Ross says that this is followed by the fifth and final stage, and that is acceptance. Then, even though the smallest glimmer of hope will remain, he is ready to die. Why must we die? Why must you die? Why must I die? Do you want to die? I don't want to die. I hope I can live on and on here on this earth and want to serve the Lord. I don't want to die. Today's paper, someone spent $40,000 to get a China kidney. He doesn't want to die. He wants to live on. Now he says that I will live a better life. I can appreciate my life. I will do exercises and so on. Eventually he will die. He will die. You can't escape this. Man must die. So whatever the truth is, whatever you try, everyone must die. Why? Why? God, the creator of man, has revealed in his word that he desires that none should perish, but that all should repent of their sins, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for the sins of all of them, and to live with him in the new heaven and new earth, which he will create forever and ever. This was God's original plan when God first made Adam and Eve, the first men on the earth, our forefathers. God's plan was for man to live with him forever, to enjoy his fellowship, and to look at all his creation and glorify him and honor him. God loves that. God wants man to be with him. That's why God created that. But we know very well that man bungled, sinned against him. And so God has said, we must die. We must die. So in answering this question in the meditation of God's word, we will learn who God is. I hope that we all will understand this. Many of us don't have a correct understanding of who God is. At present, many people believe only God is love. They tell them that God is love. How can God, the God of love, can do this and that? They see of so many things, the natural calamities that happen, and many thousands of people who have been killed. How can God of love let this happen, or even blame God that God did these things? And on top of that, when man begins to fight and kill one another, they blame God also. How can God allow this kind of thing instead of blaming man? So I hope that in our meditation today, as we look at the Word of God, we can understand, have a correct understanding. This is very important. The nature of God. Who God really is. Is he only a God of love? That's all. So I hope we can correct that. If we have a wrong conception, I hope this morning we can correct that conception, and then we can maintain and have a right relationship with God, and also understand what is happening in this world. Why must men die? Why must I die? Why must you die? The reason is given to us. And in Genesis chapter 3 there, because Adam sinned against God. Just the word sin. And it was not a very big sin. Many of them will say it's not big sin. Some people will complain to God. Only one commandment, and that sin is to rebel, to disobey God. God said in the Garden of Eden, told Adam, you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's a fruit there. Don't eat it. Just simple, don't eat it. And God warned Adam, if you eat it, you shall surely die. And so Adam eat it. Don't blame Eve. Adam was present. Eve took, gave to Adam. Adam eat it. In fact, Adam should have stopped Eve, but he ate it too. So he broke God's commandment just by eating of the fruit. It is not about the fruit actually. It is all because what? Of sin, of rebellion, of disobeying God. Just one. And that tells us about the holiness of God. Alright, that tells us about who God is, you know. He's awesome, He's almighty. He says one word, don't do it. And Adam broke it. That is sin. Doesn't matter whether it is a little, it is just only a fruit. He did it. And that's rebellion. And God said that when God says, you shall surely die, you shall surely die. Because God is also what? Righteous. God means what He says. Remember that. God means what He says. Now here again, why can't you say, but God is all love. Why God? You should let Adam go. Oh, it's just a small sin. As far as God is concerned, there is no such thing as small sin, big sin. Sin is what? Sin. Rebellion. You shall surely die. And since that time, man died. Right? Just now, as Deacon Men E read Genesis chapter 5, did you hear the recurring phrase? And he died, and he died. So I did not follow there, I just listened and I could hear. After he says so many years, 800 years, 900 years, even Methuselah, the longest living person, 969 years, and he what? Died. And he died, and he died, and he died. And later on, God doesn't allow that so many years. A man's life is only 120 years. 100 days. You live 120 years? And it was said, written of you also. And Stephen Koo died. If God should tell you, the Lord is right there, and you die. Yeah, your name will be there, written. Stephen Koo died. Samuel died. Hosea died. Albert also died. So God has revealed. But then you see, this is the fact. Physically we all die. But you see, the Bible tells us that death is in three senses. In fact, God has created, first of all, God created Adam and Eve and all human beings. We are going to live forever. God did not create Adam so that Adam will die. After that finished, after some years or 900 years or 930 years, and then he died. And that's the end of everything. No, God created man to live with him forever because God is eternal. And if he wants a fellowship of man with him, he must create a person who is eternal. And what was God's plan? That all of us will live with him eternally on this beautiful planet Earth. If not for sin. Even with the sin, you know, don't you see that this country, this planet Earth is still beautiful? You all love to go to Hawaii, Fiji, all the Polynesian islands. Huh? What about island Singapore? Also pretty one. Go to Sentosa. Oh, yes, because God has, even for that fact, God is so gracious. That man is still able to dress the world, which God asked man to do, and to beautify the world. So physically, in the physical creation of God, it is beautiful. But God has another plan, because God can destroy this present earth, this present heaven, create a new heavens and a new earth. Revelation 22 tells us that. A new heaven and new earth. And all those of us who are Christians, who have been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, will be in the new heaven and new earth forever and ever and ever and ever. As conscious as you are now. Wonderful, isn't it? Yes, so wonderful. But for the moment while we are on this earth, death, as far as God is concerned, is death is in three senses. The first one, of course, is very simple. We all can accept it. We all see it almost every day. You turn to the newspaper every day, and then you can see the obituaries. People who are 63 years old died, who are younger, who are older, died. Some of you have attended, some of you also, your loved ones have died. You have experienced it. And myself also have conducted. And I have yet to conduct one funeral. And to see that corpse sit up suddenly. I have not. Which I know one day that will happen. But not for the moment, no. Physical death is definite, is clear. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Once to die. God says, yes, then shall the dust return to the earth. It was, and the spirit shall return to God. We die. And so physical death is actually a separation of the soul, spirit, and the body of man. What is death? Actually, it is a separation of the spirit and soul from the body. See, at this moment, you can see me alive. The next moment when I die, my body lies here, but my spirit returns away, goes to God. And I know I'm a believer. And as according to the word of God, absent from the body, my spirit, absent from the body, and present with God. That's death. Physical death. But then there is another kind of death. Because we have this soul, this spirit in us, there's another kind which is called a spiritual death. The Bible here tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, and you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. God is saying in his word that you and me, all of us who are here, well, at one time, if you are a Christian, say one time, or before I became a Christian, I was dead in trespasses and sin. But at that time, before I became a Christian, I was still much alive, right? You ever tell somebody, hey, you're dead in trespasses and sin, you say, go away, you talking foolishly. I'm still alive, very strong. But God says you are dead. Now what does he mean, the spiritual death? What does this mean, spiritual death? To be dead in trespasses and sin. If you read in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, he says, yeah, why? We walk according to the course of this world. We follow the system of this, the philosophy, the thinking of this world. And then he says further on, and says that we walk according to the prince of the power of the air. We walk according to Satan's leading. And then he goes on further and says, the power, the spirit that now worketh the obedience. And then he goes on to say that we walk in time past to satisfy our lust, the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So there are three things there we are dead to, which have no control, that we are slaves to it. We have been enticed, enslaved by the things of this world, which is anti-God. True or not? Look at yourselves. Spiky hair. Girls wearing, you know, less and less clothes. You look at the papers, anywhere. One time, So we follow the ways of the world. I just saw these are examples, all right? There are many more things. I have no time to go hold up the list. We follow the ways of the world, which is anti-God. And Satan, oh Satan, you are enslaved because Satan is more powerful. What does Satan do? According to God, Satan is real, please, real. He's a person, real. You can't see him, he's a spirit. Satan is roaming in the world, seeking whom he may what? Devour. So there's no Englishman here I can use. Makan. Devour you, eat you, destroy you, rob you. You got no chance. You cannot stand on the chair here and shout loud and so Satan be frightened. Satan laugh at you. One group of Christians say, let us all stand on the chair and shout very loud so that Satan will be afraid. No, Satan will not be afraid. You can shout till your jaw drop, your teeth all drop, and then your horse, the Satan will still laugh at you. He will control you. The only thing that you, only way that you can conquer and overcome Satan is the word of God. He is afraid of that. But you can't. So we are dead in trespasses. Controlled by the world, we are enslaved by the world, and then we are also victims of Satan. We try to resist, you cannot. True or not? You see this house haunted, you want to go in? You do not go in. You dare not even buy the house. So you are dead in trust. So two senses already. Physical death, sure. Except, I agree. Spiritual death, look yourself carefully, true or not. Can you resist? Very difficult. You cannot. Now there is another sense. I say there is a third sense. And let's look at the third sense. What is this third sense? This in the Bible, it is called the second death. Oh, let us look. You have your Bible, please turn to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. It says here, blessed and holy, verse 6 here, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God. Alright, so in other words, those who have first, there's the first resurrection. And you look very carefully in scripture, the first resurrection is referring to all those who are Christians. Those people like you and me who have been bought by the blood of Christ. Our sins all washed away because our sins is the one that separated us from God that resulted in death. Physical death, spiritual death. And now we come to second death. Our sins have been washed and God reconciled us back to Him. We can be with God forever and ever. That's the first resurrection. Now, how about the second resurrection? Look at verse 14 here. Verse 11, it says here, and I saw the great white throne and him that sat on it, and from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. In simple language, is that we all stand before the throne of God. And then I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. In other words, here, all those who have no part in the first resurrection, those who are not Christians, who have not been washed by the blood of Christ, and they have been buried here, there, the sea, everywhere. When the time comes, God will raise them all up. All of them will come out, raised again, be alive again, and stand before God. And God will judge them. See? God will judge them. You see, the books will be opened. Not, there's one book, the book of life. If you are you have been washed by the blood of Christ, your names will be written in the book of life. You will be part in the first resurrection. But why books? Why plural books? Because many people who are not Christian, they reject the Jesus Christ. They don't want to believe They think that they are worthy to be. They can argue with God. They say that, God, you are not fair. Really? Okay. God say, okay. So record down, you know, I'm not fair. And then they have good works. All right, God is going to record everything down. So you want to argue with God? Can. No problem, God says. No worries. No problem. And God will give you a chance. So you stand before the great white throne where God will judge you. Open the books. Open. Stephen Koo. Not there. All right, in the book of life. Stephen Chow. Ah, he's there. So all listed out. I do not know. Press the button. A screen there. Big one. Big screen. 42 inch. Your life. See, nowadays you attend weddings, they have this one. They show the life of the bride and bridegroom from day one up to when they met. In the great white throne, they press the button. Your life from day one until the day you die. You say, all right, God show you. And God's standard measure. What you will say, Stephen, the other Stephen will say, Sorry, I know I'm wrong. Sorry. No chance. No more second chance. You will admit, because God's word says here, all and the sea will give up according, and death and hell will cast into the lake of fire. There is a place. This place is a lake of fire, which will be cast into, is actually for the devil, for Satan and all the angels who rebel against God. God prepared this for them. And that's why Satan wants a lot of what friends calling you. Come and join me. And they're cast into the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever and ever. Wow, you mean God is so cruel? No. Why? If you say God is cruel, God is bad. No, then you don't understand who God is. God is holy, righteous, just, eternal. He is that. You see, His awesomeness and holiness is so great that if God were to appear to you, some people say, where is God? I want to see Him. You see, God is so gracious. If God were to appear to that man, he will be dropped dead completely, you know. Disappear. You know how awesome, how holy God is. And to sin against God, even this little sin by eating of that fruit of that tree, you shall surely die. This is God. Fearsome, awesome, holy, righteous, just. Alright, this is God. You know what? You dare to sin against Him? I don't care. God is still there. I don't believe. God is still there. You still have to stand before Him. You don't believe doesn't mean He's not there. He is still there. This is the second death. You see? Death in three senses. Physical death already shown to you. God says, you shall surely die. You see? Spiritual death, you know for yourself in your experience. Paul himself said, in my heart I want to do something good, yet there is another law in me said, when I do, I cannot do. And even when I do the good things, as far as God is concerned, even there's evil in it. It doesn't mean that all of us cannot do good things. Yes, as far as human being is concerned, horizontally, yes. You take a girlfriend out, you go to the car, you open the door and let the girlfriend go in first, you close and you walk by the other way and you go out. Very good, okay, good thing. Horizontally, okay. But we are talking about you and God. How does God measure that? But His standard. It's not that, just God being gracious, some merciful. Three senses. So in other words, when a person dies, he's not the end. He's been interned, delayed, until the time comes when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again it comes to the end of the world, then those who have experienced the first resurrection, all of our Christians, all will be with him. And those who are non-Christians, so God will raise them up and face the judgment. It's awful, isn't it? It's awful. How many of you here are not a Christian? How many of you are not? I plead with you, even this morning, that you be a Christian. Believe in Christ. You know, what you need to do is just repent of your sins. Adam did repent. Peter, the Apostle Peter, also repented. And when you repent of your sin, you truly, Lord, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. I repent. Lord, have mercy on me. And I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who died for me. I believe, Lord. God will forgive your sin because God says. And here is the other part of God, the other sight of God, like a coin. His righteousness, his holiness, and here the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Physical death, spiritual death, second death, should not, but have everlasting life. That part is God is love. So God's love and God's holiness are together, equal. And God will not sacrifice a little, diminish even his holiness and righteousness in order to what? Glorify or expand, increase his love. God will not. They are equal. Neither will God also diminish his love and then make us all suffer. Equal. Must remember that. Two. God's holiness, God's righteousness, God's justice, and man and God's love and mercy and grace. So God give you a chance. If you are a non-believer, what is there to stop you? Repent, believe, and be saved. You see, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14, 15. 13, 14, 15. And when you have been presented with Jesus Christ, when you have been introduced to Jesus Christ, that he is the one who came, who is the Son of God, who died for you and rose again from the dead. You hear it. You read it. What did the Bible say here? You believe it. You repent. And God said what? He will seal you with his Holy Spirit. In other words, God's Spirit will come and live in you, indwell you. That is your guarantee that you are born again. You belong to him. And you will have part in the first resurrection and will be with God forever. In the ultimate analysis, you'll be God forever and ever and ever. Do you have this assurance? Some of you, maybe, I'm not sure. I ask you, I'm not sure. You better make sure. You are still a better person in that sense. You don't reject, but you better make sure. Make sure that you are, because it's the most important thing in life. The most important thing. And do that first. Now, that's why you see here God's justice. So we see here, we see the three attributes of God. God's justice, and that the sinner must suffer. In God's justice, we get what we deserve. In the justice of God, we get what we deserve. What we deserve when we sin against God, we get death. There's another aspect of God's attribute, is God's mercy, his love. In God's mercy, we do not get what we deserve. Because God is merciful, so you do not get what you deserve. And you did not die. God allow you to live here for next 120 years. God's chance for you to believe. And you can do what you like. You are not zombies. Right? You still have talents. You still can mind. You still can go to university. You can study. You can do this. You can do that. And man can... You see, even the people in those who are in the government of Singapore, I don't know how many of them are Christians. I think a lot of them are not. Yet they govern Singapore very well. They have brought Singapore all out. Now the economy is booming. God is merciful. And yet here, because they do not get what they deserve, and that applies to many of us. But there is another aspect. God's grace. In God's grace, we get what we do not deserve. In God's grace, we get what we do not deserve. And what you and I do not deserve. Salvation. We all deserve death. But God will give, by His grace, He will give you salvation. But it must be on God's terms. And what is God's terms? That we have to believe in the Lord Jesus. Repent. Admit our sin. Repent and believe in Christ. And then we can be saved. First we must admit our sin. So many of our people will not admit sin. You know, the more you mention sin, what sin? Then sin is rebellion against God. Disobedience against God. No, I've not done anything wrong. First of all, I don't accept there's God. Alright, that's finished already. Even they accept God, okay, sin, what sin? I never murder. And they talk about sin means murdering. Big sins. No, you tell them, no, big sins. Just say, don't eat the apple, and God, you eat the apple. God say, don't eat the apple, you eat the apple, finish. Wow, like that? Yes, it's like that. God is so holy. So once you are convicted of your sin, and God's judgment is what? Death. I don't want to die. How can I be delivered? Jesus Christ come. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Come to me. And Christ died on the cross. You know how much Christ loves you? This much. This much. He loves you. Come. Come. If you see Jesus Christ on the cross dying, actually he died for the whole world, but think, he died for you, you alone. He loved you that much, he died for you. And you reject that. And God said, give that, you reject it. That's terrible. So you have no excuse, you know. When they stand before the great white throne, you have no excuse at all. So you come, you believe. Sincerely and truthfully, don't be like the insurance man who come to you, you know. Oh, I better can believe that insurance policy. I can do what I like, but on that day I show my insurance policy. Lord, I got it. Tak boleh. No, can do. Cannot go by insurance policy. It must be sincerely. You believe sincerely in your heart. When you believe sincerely, God is sincere. And what happens? God says He will transform and change you. You will have first what? Peace with God. Do you have peace with God? Can you say, I have peace with God? You can say this because you know that my sins are all forgiven by God. And when you repent, it means that I will not sin again. That's it. Change. And now the Holy Spirit is in you. He lives in you. You are presently with God. God is with you. And if you live in accordance, you repent in accordance to His will, you follow Him, you are on God's side and God is on your side and nobody can be against you. And when you face physical death, you know it is only a step to heaven, to where God is, absent from the body, present with the Lord. How wonderful it is. And perpetually with God. Forever and ever and ever. You want to know a bit of the new heaven, new earth? Alright, Revelation. you have in Revelation chapter 22. I love this chapter. I see. 21. All right, let's look at 21. 21, 22 says, all right. You see? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. This is not what I say. This is God's word say. For the first heaven and the first earth, which is the present earth, were passed away. And there's no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. See, God will live with us forever in the new heaven and new earth. Look at verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, neither shall there be no more death, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5. And he said upon the, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, that is to John, write, for these words are true and faithful. It will happen. Just as God said, you and I shall surely die, men shall surely die, God also said that all these things has written about the new heaven and new earth, and all those of us who are saved by the blood of Christ will be with him forever. No more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. Will also be true and live with him forever. And there are many things to do, okay, in the new heaven and new earth. Don't ever listen or hear that kind of falsehood, huh? That in heaven forever, do what? Some will say, okay, clouds, and then play what, this harp, and then you have wings behind you. Don't ever believe. This is nonsense, you know. This is the devil's lie. How do you live in a life here? Oh, you want to study more. You want to know about the whole world. Yes, you will have that opportunity in the new heaven and new earth. Even greater things you will discover. Greater things. How wonderful it is. See? Please, I didn't say this. It's all here. And I believe with all my heart. I ask you to believe. What do you have to lose? Nothing. What do you have to gain? Everything. If you reject with the alternative, it's scary. Believe. And be saved. And for us Christians, knowing that this is the truth for us, it will encourage us, strengthen us, isn't it? Even we are in bed of affliction, no problem, people come, we praise the Lord. We minister to them. And we know that when this body is corrupt, we know that one day this body will collapse. Well, but the spirit inside is alive and strong. You know, Christians, what the Bible says? The outward man will perish slowly, perish, you know, become bad and bad. True, this is very true. All right, a lot of you are young people, like me, already getting old, aches and pains coming. It will. But inside us, the spirit is renewed day by day, become better. You see, the joy, the peace, the strength, spiritual strength that you read from the word and you do become strong, and the peace, joy all inside overwhelm everything. Strong, no, inside is very strong. And when you are physically afflicted, you are not affected by it, because the inside is strong. How wonderful. And then when the body collapses, your spirit, whoa, there with the Lord. And one day God raise us all up together, and we will be with one another forever. I see your faces now. I will see you in heaven, the new heaven and new earth, forever and ever. So is there anybody you don't like? If you're a Christian, you better start liking him. Otherwise, you're going to see him forever and ever. So learn and help one another. We Christians better help one another. And what to advance God's kingdom. Looking for that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. And we pray, Father, that your word will touch our hearts, transform and change us. We pray for those who are still outside your kingdom. Lord, be merciful, gracious. And may they come to know of their condition and believe in Christ and be saved. This we pray, we ask, giving you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.